Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
Mary is a woman of 15 in a village of the Middle East, a Jew who has learnt the Psalms, been initiated into the history of this people, who prays to Yahweh. In a village where people live with good moral customs, such that the occupying Romans, even though they are the ones with the power, have a tremendous respect. We come across in the Gospels various people and centurions of good standing who really feel morally inferior to these people, to these Jews, who have been given the right way to worship, the right way to live. And Our Lady, in her prayer, having dedicated herself body and soul to Yahweh, seeing in her prayer that she was called to be set apart, and finding with Saint Joseph a man of nobility who had agreed to marry her but to respect her virginity. And there you see a tremendous supernatural outlook. Imagine having such a relationship, knowing that sex is created by God, that it is very good, and that it is not good for the man to be alone. Yet, for tremendously supernatural reasons, and in Mary we have a woman conceived without sin, and though she be 15 or 16 years of age, Joseph can see in the whole purity of her life, the exquisite charity, the tremendous faith in God, someone incredibly special, chosen by God. But then an angel is sent to Our Lady, to this woman. Hail, Mary, full of grace. What can this greeting mean? Oh, highly favored, conceived without sin, full of grace. Grace, which is a participation in the inner life of God. To be totally free from sin. And we have, as it were, a title full of grace. And Our Lady is taken aback. Don't be afraid, Mary. The Lord has regarded you. He has chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah. How can this be? I do not know man. I have been set aside by Yahweh. I thought that was his will. How can I remain a virgin and yet be a mother? What am I to do? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You will conceive in your womb. And so that prophecy of Isaiah, that the young woman would give birth, has been brought to fulfillment. You might think, well, what's the big deal about being a young woman and giving birth? I mean, how could this be a prophecy? Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, when we look to the Greek rendering of that, it says virgin. And the Jew, for the Jews, and we look to the Hebrew, that the term used in Isaiah refers to a maiden, who of course would be a virgin, but also the emphasis being a young woman. You can render it either way when you say maiden. But it was understood to mean a virgin who will give birth. In the pagan cultures, you have many references to quasi-divine figures, you know, that always there seems to be a god who impregnates a woman. And you have then some form of demigod. But that's not what we are dealing with here. When we look at the Egyptian or other cultures, normally it involves quite a bit of very, very human passion between the particular god and the woman. If you go to the temple of Luxor in Egypt, you see references there to how one of the Egyptian gods came about. You know, well yeah, it's pretty racy. In fact, when you read the account. And so too with, you know, with Zeus and Semele, when she becomes the mother of Bacchus, of Dionysius. Basically, she gets, you know, obliterated by a lightning bolt, and then Zeus has to put Dionysius and sew him up inside his thigh. But here we see a woman who conceives vaginally. Before, during, and after birth, she remains a virgin. A sign made real of the purity of God's doctrine. Sex is a wonderful thing. It's a sacrament. But here we're dealing with something supernatural. So that Mary can be the mother of all the living in grace. She is the second Eve. As you, Jesus, are the new Adam. And we see revealed God's plan, that you, Jesus, are born of a woman, born under the law. The daughter of Zion. The link between the old and the new, Mary. All brought together in the life of this teenage woman who is so pure, so good, and who responds with her whole being to that vocation. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. There we see a model of faith. Abraham, our father in faith, received a calling. He knew that God wanted him to move from Ur, to sell up, to leave the land of many gods, and to go to the promised land, where he would have many children, many descendants. Why, where, how? He didn't know. He just went. He was led by faith. And Our Lady also gives us example of faith, of not really seeing how this will work out, glimpsing something of this when she speaks with her cousin Elizabeth, because the message of the angel refers to Elizabeth also being pregnant, she who was already old, to show that for God nothing is impossible. And Our Lady, quick on the uptake, realizes that Elizabeth will need help. And instead of being self-absorbed, the fact that she is now the mother of the Messiah, the one foretold, the one whom the Jews had waited 1,000 years, she goes to the help of Elizabeth. And hearing the voice of Mary, because she contains Jesus within her, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy And Elizabeth exclaims, "Why should I be so honored to have a visit from the mother of my Lord?" And Mary breaks into song with the Magnificat. "My heart rejoices. My soul magnifies the Lord. For he has looked upon me, his lowly handmaid, and worked for me his wonders." And then our lady, speaking not only from her own experience, but also of what she has read in the scriptures, of how your plans, Lord, are worked such that the rich go empty away, that the poor are taken care of, the poor of Yahweh. Our Lady has a tremendous vision of what history is truly about. The grace of God and people's free response. And it takes place in each one's heart. And what we consider to be important need not be so. Those the world considers rich are not necessarily as important as those who really are hungry and thirsting for justice. And many times it's the poor, those whom the world calls poor, who are the most generous, who give the most, who actually live with love. And there Our Lady, giving of herself to her cousin, in some respects so commonplace, and yet this is the one foretold, this is the mother of the Messiah, the one who is to redeem us from our sins, without whom we would be without hope. We commemorate that at Christmas every year. The two great lights of the liturgical calendar that shine upon our lives are Easter and Christmas. Because Mary said, yes, salvation was made possible. Perhaps there were other Marys, perhaps there were other mothers who had been chosen, and they said, no, well, we don't know. But Mary said, yes. Death through Eve, life through Mary, writes one of the fathers of the church. We see that, Lord, when you praise people, many times they are like an indirect compliment of Our Lady, because when she and various of your cousins came looking for you, and you looked at the people who were sitting there listening to you, Jesus, and you said, behold, you know, waving your hand, behold, my mother and my brothers and my sisters, those who hear the word of God and who keep it. Who more than Our Lady was faithful to the calling that she had received? Yes, she is special, being the mother of God. She gave birth to your human nature, Lord, but she is related to you as to a person, and you are the second person of the Blessed Trinity. We do not talk of our mothers as, well, here is the mother of my human nature. And say, well, here's the mother of me, my mum. The other day I was able to Skype my mother for the first time. She was very excited. She'll probably forget 10 minutes afterwards. But at least anyway, I was able to see my mum. You know, you think, well, here's this old lady, you know, she's turning 79 in a couple of days. This old lady, you know, in a rest home. And you might think, you know, well, just here's another old lady. But, you know, she's not just some old lady in a rest home for me. She's my mum. It makes all the difference. That's my mum. You know, I'd sing some songs that she used to teach me when I was a little kid in bed. I remember them. And so too, Our Lady for you, Jesus, is your mum. You know, it's the reality of the incarnation. So incredible. You are truly man. Mary is truly your mother, whom you love, as we all love our mother. And Mary loves you, Jesus, as a mother loves her son. When you work in a school and you see how mothers love their sons, something amazing. You know, everyone else says this kid's a dropkick. But for the mother, no, you know, he's just differentially abled. You know, he has spatial intelligence or something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, they'll find an aspect. There's an aspect that you can make really positive. Mum will find it. The potential that the kid has, you know, it's really something. But not only does Our Lady love you, and she does, as any mother loves you, but even more so, she knows that you are God. And you know, Jesus, that Mary is the one who has said yes. Not only is she mother biologically, with all that that entails, but spiritually. She is without sin, and she was always saying yes to the will of God. And that is your very food, Lord, to do the will of the Father. You are the amen of the Father. For this you have come. This is what you desire. And Our Lady is the most perfect realization of someone who does the will of God. And for that you also love her. Over and above. She is faithful when all others have abandoned you. She is there for you, Jesus, at the cross, which cost you so much, which you sweated blood about the night before you were to be betrayed. If we even begin to think about our own difficulties, how we get upset at having a splinter in our thumb, or you know, we bang our hand in the door or something, this is the end of the world. Or when we are unjustly accused, you took the yogurt from the fridge, didn't you? No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You took the yogurt. And you're incensed, you know, how dare they accuse me of taking the yogurt? And I would have taken the Coca-Cola, not the yogurt. But you know, that's all these, in these little ways of each day, we get really upset. We spend our time mulling, thinking, why would they do this and how come that? And, you know, we feel down. What would it be like for us if we were to actually be sentenced to death? We had, you know, some pretty serious things to face up to. And Our Lady is faithful to the very end, even seeing you, Jesus, on that cross. What immense cruelty for a parent to have to see something like that. Unbelievable. And Our Lady is there with faith at your side, Jesus, with all the insults, with all the agony, she is there. She says yes. And she remains a woman of faith. Even after you've been taken down, Lord, from the cross. And you have yet to rise from the dead. She keeps the faith of the church alive. And the apostles, who have been so cowardly, most of them, come and seek solace from Our Lady, the one who is most in need of it. She has to give it. And Our Lady, there, with the beloved disciple at her side, at the foot of the cross, receives that command from you, Lord, that mission. Woman, behold your son. The new Eve, our redemption, is born from the side of the cross. We are new creatures in Christ. Son, behold your mother. We receive her into our own home, into all of our things. And you have wanted that to be so, Jesus. We are sons of God in you. And as a result, Mary is our mother. We who have been given birth to in the church from your sleep on the cross. Do I take Mary into all of my things? Do I realize that she is my mother, that she cares for me? Do I have that practical faith by which I will pray to Mary? Be it a memorare for the one who is most in need, a contemplation of some of the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, which always mean a contemplation of your life, Lord, together with Our Lady. A novena, a rosary, some Hail Marys for holy purity before going to bed. A pilgrimage, a penitential pilgrimage to a shrine of Mary. That in this year of faith, one of the recommendations made by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is that we go on pilgrimage to a shrine of Our Lady. We would do that for our mother. We have faith. Saint Jose Maria, as with many of the saints, had a tremendous devotion to Mary. And people would try to imitate Saint Jose Maria, and he would say, look, don't imitate me in anything. You've got your own way. But if there's one thing that you shouldn't imitate, if you're going to imitate me, if there's one thing that you can imitate me in, it's my devotion to Our Lady, my devotion to Mary. He would not even leave the center of Opus Dei without going into the director's room and looking at the statue of Our Lady that was there and kissing the feet of that statue. Not in a routine way, but because he genuinely counted upon the help of the Mother of God. Even as a 2 or 3 year old, I mean, I know Spaniards and Italians like to kiss many things. When it comes down to it, everything gets a big slurpy kiss. But, you know, as a little 2 or 3 year old, he would go to that image of the Dormition of Our Lady in the church of his hometown, and he would kiss that image, and he would even say in a little whisper, you know, come with me. Do I at least have the desire to have that kind of devotion to Our Lady? We need to grow in faith. We need to learn from those who have that devotion to Mary. It does us so much good. There was once a German studying for the priesthood in Rome, and he was with a Sri Lankan who, this Sri Lankan has gone on to become the Cardinal of Sri Lanka. Hoped to meet him one day. Again, we had dinner one night in the seminary. I was invited along because I could speak English. The conversation turned, as it would naturally, to cricket. The Europeans were just astounded, what are these guys talking about? It's also one of the best meals I've ever had in my life at the seminary. You know, they put it on for the bishop. And it was really nice. Anyway. And so if I get to this work camp in Sri Lanka, I'll have to remind him about the conversation at the meal. But he was talking to us in the seminary about this friend of his who was studying as a German, and he was studying scripture. One of the jokes that they tell in Rome is that if you study philosophy, you lose your mind. If you study theology, you lose your faith. But if you study canon law, you just lose out on time. So it's just a waste of time. Anyway, so better to study canon law. Then you won't lose your faith and you won't lose your mind. It's one of the jokes. Don't worry. You've got to be there. But this fellow was studying scripture, and of course, he started to lose his faith. You know, a very dry understanding of scripture. And he didn't know what was happening. You know, and he said to the Sri Lankan, he said, look, you know, my mother doesn't know very much, but she has a great faith. I wish I had her faith. And the Sri Lankan said, well, look, turn to Mary, pray the rosary, go back to those devotions of your mother. And he did so. And he saw him again a year later and he said, you know what, I've recovered my faith. Our Lady will help keep our faith alive. There's a story of a priest in America who has a great devotion to Mary, and he spreads knowledge of that devotion wherever he goes. And he explains what happened to him. He had been living the life of a pretty ordinary parish priest. He hadn't done anything terribly wrong. He just hadn't done anything much at all. He was pretty lukewarm in the fulfillment of his duties, and he didn't want to tread on any toes, and he just, you know, keep people happy and happy, happy, that's it. You know, let things slide. And he had a very severe car accident. He was near death. I mean, really, really close to death. And he had a near-death experience. And he was there being judged by you, Jesus, and he saw his life for what it was worth, and he realized that he deserved hell. And he was waiting for a pronouncement to be made when there was a voice from behind Jesus, you know, from a lady, saying, give him a little bit more time. And then Jesus saying, okay, your will be done. You've got more time. And then he suddenly came to in the operating theatre. He had just been narrowly avoided death. And after that, as you can imagine, he had a huge devotion to Mary. And we'll go around talking about that, you know. We don't have to wait until we get, you know, run over, have a car accident, or, you know, experience some near-death situation. You know, we should turn to Mary now. How should we relate to Our Lady? By having her name often on our lips, greeting her, glancing at those images that we have of Mary that we see around. We should have an image of a picture of Mary in our room. A miraculous medal around our neck, a scapular. It was said that one of the gold medalists was wearing a medal of Mary. She crossed the finishing line, you know, sort of first. To have that eye for detail, to see, at the very least, images of Mary, we need that. There's the story they tell, and it's just a story, but it could be true, so I'll tell it. Of a boy at school, if you could imagine such, being naughty. And the teacher sending him out of the classroom. Get out. It's an everyday occurrence. You know, you see that at school. Get out. And then the teacher calming down, relenting, thinking, oh, this kid, I've been a bit tough on him. Going out to try and find him and tell him to come back in. Couldn't find him. Where's he gone? Went looking for him. Found him. The kid had wandered off to the chapel. And there he was before the statue of Mary on his knees and with tears saying, I want to be good. I just can't manage it. Imagine the teacher there, you know, with tears in his own eyes, you know, because that's true for all of us. I want to be good, I just can't seem to manage it. And that's the role that Our Lady plays for us. We can always turn to her. Even though we don't seem to be able to manage it, we can ask her for her help. We can go to a shrine of Our Lady. We can take our friends with us. Our Lady, our hope. And she is our hope. And where she is, we hope to be. And she is there, first fruits of your redemption, Lord. Enjoying heaven bodily, as is our hope. We will have to wait time for that. But she beckons for us. You know, heaven is possible. Heaven is worthwhile. Heaven can be yours. If you stick close to the school of Mary, to follow in her way, to say yes to the Holy Spirit, to say yes to those messengers of God, those angels, when they come knocking on our door and revealing to us, thank you.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.